shots.
J-Ref, you in a mood today or what?
A little bit of a mood, but I just watched an It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode last night that had the song in it, so I had to play it.
All right, I like it. I don't know that I've ever heard it as bumper music for this show, but I like it. I don't know if Steve Sands of the Golf Channel likes it, but we're about to find out. Steve Sands of the Golf Channel, he's the best. Golf Channel, NBC Sports. I hope he wasn't on hold while you were updating everybody what was going on the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Too soon, Sands? I know your Capitals went down to the Florida Panthers. You okay with that?
We're used to it by now. Just complete and utter disappointment.
You won the Stanley Cup like 2 years ago.
Won the Stanley Cup 4 years ago. Didn't build on a darn thing. We've lost four consecutive first round series.
The not so great eight anymore, huh?
I'm sorry?
The not so great eight anymore.
Oh, no. The eight is still great. The team is old, and they need to get some speed and some youth. Good Lord.
Well, you made the playoffs. That's what matters.
Yeah, okay. if that's how you want to look at it, yeah. How about winning a damn series, for God's sake?
Yeah, well, it's rough out there. You're preaching to the choir, this part of the world. So we understand. We feel that pain. Steve Sands, Golf Channel, NBC Sports. It is the 104th PGA Championship coming up this week from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Are you going there this week? You're going to be involved in coverage for Golf Channel.
I am sitting here in Tulsa as we speak.
How is that city?
It's good. It's good. Went to a good steakhouse last night. A couple of guys live here on tour. Bo Van Pelt's a real good guy. He told us where to go, what to do. And, you know, it's good. It's hot. It's windy. You know, it's not, as I told Marty, Tulsa's not San Diego, but what is?
Nothing. There's no Rockies equivalent out there anywhere in Tulsa, Oklahoma, huh?
Oh, God, no. Not at all. Absolutely not.
Good scene. Can they handle a bunch of golf fans coming from different parts of the world to attend this week?
Oh, yeah. Great logistics at Southern Hills. It's hosted more PGA championships than any other venue in America. This place is mint. It's a great golf course, a great piece of property. Really good sports town. And when you bring majors or any event to what you would consider a mid-major town as opposed to a professional sports town, the place turns out big time. So this place will be jumping. The folks here are excited. It's a really good city to have the PGA Championship and a great, great golf course. The guys love it.
I love that. And I looked at that yesterday. I noticed that it had hosted the most PGA championships and that it also hosted a couple of U.S. Opens. And you know what that does for me? That gets my wheels turning a little bit, thinking about how does San Diego get involved in a PGA championship at some point? I know the obvious golf course for those that are listening would be Torrey Pines, which I don't think would fit the bill necessarily. But how would a golf course in San Diego get involved in a PGA championship, just in the hypothetical?
Well, the way it works today is a little different than it used to be. Not many courses go back and forth between a PGA and a U.S. Open. And that's because the PGA of America runs the PGA Championship. The USGA, the United States Golf Association, runs the U.S. Open. Normally, those clubs have an affiliation with one of those organizations. So, for instance, Torrey Pines has a PGA Tour event every single year. But as far as the major championship business, in San Diego, Torrey Pines has the best infrastructure, the best logistics, the best golf course to host a big event, which, you know, brings in so many people each and every day. And they basically deal exclusively with the USGA. They don't deal with the PGA of America. Not that they don't like the PGA of America, but they have a deal, if you will, and a relationship with the USGA. So normally, they don't go back and forth. And in my hometown of D.C., the U.S. Open has been played at Congressional three times, both of them pretty famous. Ken Venturi, back in 64, had that crazy heat stroke. He ended up winning that week outside of D.C. Bernie Els is in the Hall of Fame. He won the 97 U.S. Open there. Rory McIlroy won the 2011 U.S. Open there. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So you're talking about three, you know, very well-known guys, very well-known weeks. They tried to get the U.S. Open in 2026 at Congressional, which is the 250-year anniversary of the country outside the nation's capital. It's the U.S. Open. The USGA said no, they wouldn't do it. So the membership of Congressional just said, okay, forget you. We're going to the PGA of America. They've signed a deal with the PGA of America to have a KPMG Women's PGA Championship next month, a Senior PGA Championship, a couple of PGA Championships, and a Ryder Cup in 2037 if you go all the way up that far. So normally you don't go back and forth the way they used to do it like they have here in the past at Southern Hills.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't want to limit our opportunity to Torrey Pines. I'd love to see other things at Torrey Pines, but I got a little bit of that bug, right? Like hanging out with you at Rockies makes me just want not only the Farmers Insurance Open, and who knows what the future is for the U.S. Open here. I know you're a big fan of it, but you know, I also want to know how I get involved in other, you know, in this major in particular. So that was a good job you explained that.
Basically, it's an infrastructure thing now. If you look at the great golf courses in San Diego and Southern California, there are tons of them.
Right.
But really, truly, infrastructure-wise, you know, the USGA takes over Torrey Pines that week. Not just the South Course, but the North Course, where they practice, where they have hospitality, where they have parking, where they have the media center, where they have the players' locker rooms temporarily built over there. So you've got to have the infrastructure and the size of property to be able to handle major championships that are being played here in the 21st century. And I'm not sure any other venue in San Diego can handle it like a Torrey Pines can. Just like I said, in my hometown in D.C., there are plenty of great golf courses, but only Congressional can host a major championship like that because there are just too many people.
All right, that's good food for thought there. Steve Sands, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, joining us from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I said before he came on, we did the majority of our Mickelson chatter yesterday. Had a guest on and talked a little bit about that. So I don't have much to ask you about Mickelson, but how much of a story is it still here today, a couple of days before they actually tee off for the 104th PGA Championship?
Oh, it's still a story. No question about it. As the guys go to the podium, and Tuesdays at major championships are when guys go to the podium and speak to the writers for the most part, and it's also live on TV. Every single one of them has been asked. All the great players come to the podium. And here's the defending champion, San Diego's own Phil Mickelson, who's not here. So everybody else who's here has been asked, and they've been asked a lot today, and I would expect today would be probably it, maybe if some guys are speaking tomorrow. But once the tournament begins, that's the end of that chatter.
So he's the defending champ, and he's sort of become the face of the Saudi Golf League, him and Greg Norman. But we're obviously omitting a bunch of people, Sanzi, and it sort of dawned on me this morning as I was thinking about, you know, this conversation, you know, that guys like Lee Westwood, guys like Ian Poulter, who I think might be in the field this week, Sergio Garcia, some of the stuff he said. I don't know where these guys are in terms of definitively committing to play in this tour, but guys have other players, like notable players, maybe none with the resume of a Phil Mickelson, but notable players are expected to play here in the Saudi Golf League in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, no question about it. The PGA Tour, Darren, took a hard line last week by telling all of its members, the players, that it would not give them a release to play. Now, for people who aren't familiar, very quickly, the Cliff Notes. If you're a member of the PGA Tour and you want to play in a tournament anywhere around the world that happens to go up against a PGA Tour event, which is basically every week, you have to get a release to play. You go out three of them a year as long as you play 15 PGA Tour events. Well, that normally happens. This case is different. This is not just a one-off. What the PGA Tour told its membership, told its players, was this is a series of events that is hurting the PGA Tour. This is not just a one-off. And they denied them those releases. So now the guys are left to either leave the membership, leave the PGA Tour and just go play and see what the, you know, consequences are, or stay with the PGA Tour, stay with the membership that they've signed on to. By the way, they're their own player regulations, or their own rules. They're the ones who own the league. It's not like the NFL. There's no collective bargaining agreement. These guys are independent contractors. The PGA Tour is a player organization, so they're writing their own rules. If the guys choose to play in it and stay as a member of the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, Darren, has told all the guys that he will suspend them indefinitely. So I'm assuming that there'll be some litigation here in the next couple of weeks. I think that some of the guys will play, and then the litigation will begin. Maybe it might begin even before they tee it up on June 9th outside of London.
But we understand correctly, right? When Sergio Garcia a couple of weeks ago gets caught on camera saying, "I can't wait to leave this freaking tour, just another couple of weeks and I'm free." I mean, that's what he's talking about? And do we think that's what he's talking about?
Yeah, there's no mistaking what he was talking about that day. That was on our air, by the way. We were on the air when that happened.
Good job. Good microphones you guys got there.
Well, I was in the booth when it happened. I was like, wow, you should have heard what was going on in our headsets during commercial. We're like, did he just say that? Like, what just happened there? And, you know, because it took us a second, because when you're doing it live, it's one thing. But when you listen to it, you're like, whoa. But anyway, so, yeah, he was, you know, he was alluding to the fact that he is sounding like he's going to go play in the LIV Golf Tour and no longer play PGA Tour events. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens. It's a long time, a lot of golf between now and June 9th.
All right, but I do have it right? Some of those names that I mentioned here, I don't want to be reckless and just tossing different names out.
Oh yeah, yeah,
you know, like Poulter, because it, like, for me, you know, some of these guys have been like, they've been foils, they've been villains, right? I'm a big Ryder Cup guy, but you know, it would just be weird to think that like we're in the final days of you know, a Lee Westwood or Ian Poulter, or you know, pick your player who decides that they're going to go play in that tour instead.
Well, I mean, the guys who have already said it. You know, Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia, I guess, alluded to it, but he applied for the release. Phil Mickelson obviously did. You know, a lot of guys are on the record as saying what they're going to do. What was interesting was yesterday when Ricky Fowler said he wasn't sure what he was going to do. I thought that was pretty fascinating. I would expect PGA Tour players to kind of say nothing after what happened with Phil. But, you know, some of the guys are, you know, just coming out and being incredibly honest, which is great. I'm just surprised at what Ricky said yesterday.
What about the European Tour? Excuse me. Does the European Tour still have, you know, do they act like the PGA Tour where they're not going to grant exemptions for guys who play there?
A couple guys yesterday told us that they thought the European Tour was going to follow the exact same line that the PGA Tour did and not allow releases to play in the event at the It's such a fascinating dynamic, because think about it this way, Darren. 2 months ago, a couple months ago, Harold Varner, who's a PGA Tour player, won the Saudi Invitational, which is an Asian Tour event. European Tour players and PGA Tour players were allowed to play in that event. It's just a couple of months ago. And not only that, but the Saudi Invitational began 4, 5, 6 years ago, whatever it was, recently, as a European Tour event. Now called the DP World Tour, but for everybody's sake, it's the European Tour. And that used to be a European Tour event. European Tour sanctioned the Saudi Invitational. They brought PGA professional golf to Saudi Arabia. And now everyone is saying that you can't, you know, have Saudi money backing you, that it's dirty money, and that it's a threat to our league, a threat to our tour, and a threat to the game at the highest level, and they are trying to squelch it as much as they can. It's pretty fascinating, Darren. It really, I'm fascinated to see how it all plays out. I think the PGA Tour did what it had to do last week. Everybody was surprised that they took that hard stance before the next event, which is played in the U.S., where the rules are different for the PGA Tour. They're never going to allow anybody to play in a U.S. event during a PGA Tour event. Nobody thought that they would stop them from playing next month in June, but they decided to take a hard line, and now it's up to the players to see what the players are going to do next.
Well, I mean, if you go over there, I'll have to watch, but that's the only person who I'm going to watch if you start broadcasting for the LIV Tour. So,
you're a kind man.
Okay. Boy, not a denial from Golf Channel Steve Sands. I'm kidding.
Hold on. There's nothing to do. Now, what was that movie? There's nothing to deny or to even talk about. I have no stake in the game.
I'm kidding. So Tiger, Rory, Spieth. Boy, that's a nice way to change the subject a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a nice pairing coming up at 5:11 Pacific time on Thursday morning.
Yeah, is it 5'11 or 6'11? I thought it was 9'18 Eastern.
I don't know. I can't do 6'18. Math.
6'18. Yeah, 6'18, I think. I think it's 8'18 locally here in Tulsa, which is Central Time. Look, Tiger Woods, no matter what, if Tiger Woods goes to the restroom, it's going to make headlines. So for him to be playing, and then you take Rory McIlroy, who's a two-time PGA champion. They played together, you know, down in South Florida. They know each other very well. Rory is an all-time great player, blah, 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 blah. And then right in the middle is a guy who's trying to win the career Grand Slam. Only five guys in the history of the sport have ever done it. Tiger is one of them. McIlroy has his chance to do it every year at Augusta. Hasn't happened yet. Spieth has his chance every year to do it at the PGA Championship. The one thing that they have in common, a career Grand Slam, Darren, has never been won at a PGA Championship or the Masters. You can count Gene Sarazen, I guess, in 1935, but nobody knew it was a career Grand Slam back then. So never has been done at the PGA Championship, and that's what Spieth's trying to do. He's coming off a first and a second place finish in his last two starts on the PGA Tour. So he's going to be going alongside Tiger Woods the first couple of days. It's a lot easier, the guys will tell you, to play with Tiger than it is to play in the group in front of Tiger, because everybody's always rushing to go to the next hole to see Tiger play after he taps in. So to play with him is a lot easier than to play right in front of him. So, and Rory and Spieth are two Hall of Fame all-time great players, so they'll be able to handle that situation.
Yeah, I want the winner to come from that group.
No, it's a heck of a group, man. It's a great group.
Who would it be? If I were to tell you, crystal ball, winner comes from that group, who would you say it was?
Oof. I would definitely put Tiger third in that group. Mm. I would probably put Spieth first, a little bit ahead of Rory, but not much. I think both Spieth and Rory have an excellent chance this week.
Xander, locally, he's had nine top 10 finishes in major championships, but for whatever reason, this is the one that has been his least likely chance of winning. I think only one top 10 finish in the PGA. I don't suppose there's any actual reason for that.
Nah, not really. It's the PGA, just like the Open and the U.S. Open, goes to a different venue every year. The Masters is the only major championship that returns to the same golf course each and every year. And I think it's just a horses for courses kind of thing. I mean, some people will play well at Southern Hills because they love it. Some people just don't see eye to eye with the golf course. And Xander's a world-class player, played great on Sunday in Dallas to set himself up for this week. And he's going to win one of these things, I think. Will it be this week? Who knows? If it's his time, great. But he's such a good player and knows how to get it done. Has won before. Just hasn't won a major yet. And I think it's coming. I think it's coming strong. And hopefully he plays well this week and gives himself a chance. At the end of the day, Darren, it's about giving yourself a chance. And then if it's your time, it's your time. There's only so much you can do. You know, as we've said before many times, you know, there are two ways to not win in sports. One of them is you lose. The other is you just got beat. He's never really given away a major championship, anything like that, but he has been beaten before, and that's okay. He's given himself an opportunity before. It hasn't happened yet. If he keeps giving himself opportunities, one of these days he's going to win one of these four.
Is there an official Steve Sands pick of the PGA Championship?
Is there? No.
Okay. You don't have to. We don't need it.
I'll tell you who's going to play very well here. I'd be shocked if he didn't. I think John Rahm, the guy who won the U.S. Open in San Diego last year, I think John Rahm is perfectly suited for this game.
We claim him, by the way. San Diego claims John Rahm. I know he's from Basque country, but we've replaced Mickelson with Rahm here.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't you? He asked Kelly to marry him on the cliff at Torrey Pines. His first ever win was at Torrey Pines.
He's a San Diego.
His agent was at Torrey Pines. If it wasn't for the tax structure in California, I'm sure he'd live in California.
Oh, now he sounds like Mickelson.
Yeah, I just threw that in there just for you.
John Rahm. All right, good. I like that. You're the man. Thank you for doing this. I always love these conversations. I wish I was there.
My pleasure, Dan. We wish you were here too, bud.
Thank you. Steve Sands, everybody. Golf Channel and NBC Sports stopping by from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Site of the 104th PGA Championship coming up this week. My math skills just on full display. Everybody very proud of the fact I can't even do time zone math to find out what time I have to get up. Imagine me sitting on my couch in the dark on Thursday at 5:11, screaming at ESPN Plus because it's not showing me Tiger and Rory and Spieth. That would have been the situation had Steve Stans not just corrected me and said, no, 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 it sounds like it's 618. Much more palatable. Might interfere with my yoga schedule, but hey, whatever. We've all talked about this just because it's Mickelson and a little bit of Greg Norman, but there are other really, really popular names going over there in a couple of weeks for this tournament starting in the first week of June. So they must feel like they've been covered to an extent because so many of the questions, especially this week when the defending champ isn't there, have been directed towards Phil Mickelson. Tiger spoke about this. Can we hear some of it?
Yes.
Great.